like people to say. I'd like everyone to sit. That we can start with our meeting. Llewellyn, are you here?
Yes.
All right. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, honorable members. Thank you. I'm glad to have your attention, honorable Mufashana. Thank you. We are going to start with our meeting now. And I think within my welcome remark, I would like to welcome her, all the honorable members that is present here today, to this important meeting of basic education. I must say, when it comes to education, I'm pleased because members are always present. And I like it because we don't need to worry about any quorum. When it comes to the department, we are happy to have you here this morning. And even when it comes to DG, a special word of welcome. You know that you were such in a very important meeting. We know that it's a lot of work outside that you have to do. Because as I said before, when it comes to you as a minister, if you are in Limpopo or the Eastern Cape, as chairperson, the apology will be accepted. Because we know there's a lot of work. Now let's carry on with our meeting of last week. DG, last week when we had our meeting, we had three items on the agenda. And the last item on the agenda was the catch-up plan for the provincial enrichment in Limpopo. This is what we received last week. When it came to this catch-up plan, it was felt within the meeting. There was only one rejection on it. And when there are rejections, then it means we don't have matters to discuss today. But the other members present felt that the report is too broad. You know, to me it looks like the department has given us a strategic plan. But what we actually needed was IPP, the Annual Performance Plan. So this report that you gave us was really too broad. And we felt that it would be necessary to have the meeting again today. And just ask the department to give us a more detailed plan with time frames attached to it. It's almost like a program of action with time frames just attached to it. So this morning, we hope, because we received a report, I see a report is in front of me, that you will be doing just that. And with those few words, I'm welcoming you to this meeting. After we have the catch-up plan, we're doing the Millennium Development Goals, and then after that, we're looking at the progress report on IQMS. Llewellyn, are there any apologies? Because I received my telephone.
Thank you, Chairperson. I received three apologies. Honorable Sultana, who's in another committee meeting, Honorable Smiles, who is not well, and Honorable Bradley, who's not available. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. We will note it. And any apology from the department side? DG?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We have apologies from the Minister, who is in Limpopo, and the Deputy Minister is occupied with parliamentary business and other urgent matters on his program. Apologies from the children.
Thank you for that. I think it was important for you, because I see you have the Limpopo catch-up plan in place. Will you just tell us which one to read, because I have another one in front of me. Thank you. The Limpopo catch-up plan, the one that is presentation to the Basic Education Portfolio Committee, 14th August 2012. Have everyone got that one in their hands? Thanks a lot, Mr. Sabai.
Thank you very much, Honourable Patterson. May I comment? May I comment? Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start off by thanking you very much for clarifying the outcome of last week's portfolio committee. But before I speak on that, I want to, on behalf of the department, send our unconditional apologies for the way matters unfolded at last week's portfolio committee meeting. I believe at some point questions were posed to the delegation from the DBE, and members of the delegation were reluctant to answer the questions. Now,
yes, Mr. Sublan, I'm sorry. It's only this one that I have in front of me. Two of the same copies. I see the two catch-up plans in front of me. Sorry for that one. You may continue.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I want to just reiterate our unconditional apology for that. Officials, I believe, or informed by the Portfolio Committee, were reluctant to answer questions. And in response to that, we want to tender our unconditional apology. Clearly, because of the huge interest in this matter and the very intense media coverage on it, I think colleagues were afraid to engage in more detailed discussion, which is not a sufficient excuse of simply explaining what might have caused that reaction. However, we are here to remediate that immediately, and I want to again send our apology to the committee itself. We're dealing with the processes within the department to ensure that such a situation does not recur. On that note, Honorable Chairperson, I want to thank you very much for clarifying the outcome of the Portfolio Committee meeting, though. It was widely reported in the media that the Portfolio Committee rejected the catch-up plan. You've confirmed today that that's not the case. I, in fact, was on the radio on Thursday morning with the member of Section 27, who repeated on air that the Portfolio Committee rejected the catch-up plan. You've confirmed today that that, in fact, is not the case. We also confirmed that our brief today is to come and elaborate on the catch-up plan, because the Portfolio Committee felt last week that the information supplied was not sufficient. It was broad. We needed to be more specific, and indeed we're here to ensure that we deal with that. If I can then proceed to the catch-up plan itself, Mr. Mwele will make the presentation on the details. I just wish to make a few points. One is that when we presented last week on the 10-point plan, it's important to emphasize the following, that in that 10-point plan, we attempted to present a comprehensive strategy for dealing with the educational challenges in the further education and training plan in Limpopo. Within that is the catch-up plan for grade 10, and Mr. Manning will emphasize that, that a specific catch-up plan for grade 10 within that, but the focus is on the FET band as a whole. And the reason for that is that whilst we have specific needs in grade 10, we need to understand that in Limpopo we have huge educational needs in the FET band. It's extremely important for this year and previous years, and feedback received previously confirmed this year is that teachers feel that there are specific challenges they've experienced in delivering curriculum in the FET band for which they need support and assistance. That's the first reason why there's that comprehensive approach. Secondly, you cannot implement a catch-up program without looking at the institutional mechanisms that will support it, i.e. what's the role of the districts, what's the role of the subject advisors, curriculum experts, what's the role of NGOs, the DBE, head office, etc. What's the role of materials in this whole process? What's the role of stakeholders in this whole process? Consequently, you've got to address that explicitly, which is the further reason why it's a 10-point plan. Finally, the reason why it's a 10-point plan is because we know that in education, in a school, it's very hard to focus on one grade and then ignore other grades. In fact, it doesn't lead to the kind of benefits you seek. So while we recognize unequivocally that grade 10 is critical for the reasons that unfolded this year related to LTSM delivery, we've got to accept that you need to do it in a pedagogically comprehensive way, i.e. focus on further education and training. For some simple reasons, one is that teachers who teach grade 10 also teach grade 11 and 12 in many instances. Furthermore, when you deal with challenges in a school for mathematics, for example, the problem tends to traverse one grade. Thirdly, it's very difficult to talk or conceive of a catch-up for one grade if you're not addressing the overall functionality of the school, including the pedagogic requirements related to curriculum delivery in the other grades. Now, that is what informs the 10-point plan. Furthermore, for this year and in previous years, we've recognized that grade 10 is a very challenging year, honorable members. Grade 10 is a challenging year because it's the first year of further education and training after general education and training. And all our research and analysis has shown over the years that the senior phase is the area where we're experiencing perhaps the greatest challenges in terms of learner performance, in terms of teacher effectiveness, etc. All of these are borne out by the results that we see in grade 9 level. It's borne out by the transition we see between grade 9 and grade 10. We see a grade 10 that's highly bloated with repetition and so forth. These are symptoms of a system that's been unfolding over years. And that is why when we talk about grade 10, it's to understand that, yes, unequivocally, I repeat, we need to focus on the problems that relate to the delivery of LTSM in 2012. But you can't do that by ignoring other things that impact on how learners and teachers would have mediated the curriculum in current year in the situation that unfolded in Limpopo. Furthermore, we can't, in educational terms, say we'll only focus on one aspect of the challenge you experience and not focus on the other aspects. That is why, again, we have 10-point plan. And Mr. Murray will speak in detail about that 10-point plan. So I repeat, the 10-point plan is not something that proceeds on a basis where we do not recognize that the clear and present priority at the moment is grade 10. It's there because we believe in focusing on grade 10. There are other priorities in relation to enrichment and catch-up that we've got to focus on, and this plan, we believe, is the best way to approach it. But when Mr. Murray will speak about the 10-point plan itself. We'll also speak about the fact that, that there was a court action and a judgment in the Gauteng, North Gauteng High Court, that related to the distribution of LTSM and a catch-up program. We will make reference to that because part of the public discourse, justifiably, on the catch-up plan is in response to the court order. So we need to, Honourable Chairperson, at a minimum, respond to what is contained in the judgment, at a minimum. However, the department is not constrained to going beyond what's contained in the judgment. Furthermore, what the judgment asks for is a catch-up program. Developing the catch-up program, it is indeed a dynamic process, and Mr. Moy will speak about being a dynamic process. But again, in saying it's dynamic, doesn't mean it's uncertain. It simply means as information comes in, we respond to that, and I'll speak about the information that's required. Furthermore, we are very aware, Honourable Chairperson, that time is of the essence. We've got a few months left, and what we do now must be work and interventions that make a real difference. Not something that's responding purely to rhetorical posturing. Now, I'm not saying that what people are saying is rhetorical posturing, but I'm saying simply that when you respond educationally, it must be based on an assessment of where learners are at this point in time. It is for that reason, Honourable Chairperson, that Mr. Mwene will speak about the kind of assessments that were conducted by curriculum experts to look at the following. What is the difference between the old curriculum or the National Curriculum Statement, the NCS, and the CAS? What was covered or intended to be covered in the NCS and what's intended to be covered in the CAS? What's contained in the old textbooks and what's contained in the new textbooks? That exercise is very important because it points to the fact, which Mr. Mwene will emphasize, that in many subjects, both of the subjects, once you've been guided through proper training, you could use the existing textbooks to teach those specific areas. But you speak about that in a moment. That's an important assessment that was done. The other assessment is the one that the Minister has been conducting. By the end of this week, Honourable Chairperson, the reason she's not here, she would have met all the principals in the province in a face-to-face situation. In those meetings, which Mr. Mwene will elaborate upon, she's asked a range of questions to solicit their feedback. One major area of focus has been what has been the impact of the late delivery of LTSM on the delivery of the curriculum. It's that assessment that's informing as well her position regarding the catch-up program. Honourable Chairperson, I'm going to then conclude on this point to say that in focusing on the catch-up program, we will emphasize grade 10. However, let me say at this point in time that the challenge in the province with relation to, in relation to grade 12 is clearly a challenge, and we say that not to defect from grade 10, but let's be very careful that we don't, in the process of engaging on this matter, neglect that which we're doing in all other provinces and which we've done in Limpopo before, which is to say, let's focus on grade 12 as well in every academic year through enrichment programs and so forth. Then, what we have to clarify, Honourable Chairperson, as we conclude on this item, is what we understand by catch-up program. Catch-up. There have been huge variations in interpretation of this thing. The one interpretation is a very literal one. Catch-up is based on an understanding that textbooks were delivered late. On that basis, because they were delivered late, no teaching could happen until such time that a book was in the school. If that's the case, then all the lessons that ought to have been taught from the beginning of the year up to the point the books have been distributed must now be done. And that means, that's what catch-up means. So it's quite a literal interpretation of catch-up. It's that the assumption is no teaching happened because there was no books. As soon as the books come, you can start teaching. And therefore, all the lessons that were missed must now be taught. That's one interpretation of it. Mr. Mwene will speak about the catch-up program that we've constructed. And in it is not that little interpretation, because the assessment shows that that indeed is not the reality. But once he's done his presentation on what happens, and I want to appeal that at least we engage on that issue a bit, because out there, there appears to be that problem of interpretation going forward. So through you, Honourable Chairperson, if you could please call upon Ms. Mwele to proceed with his presentation.
Thanks a lot for the overview, Mr. Subrahim. And I'm happy that you are saying that teaching and learning did take place? Because I think that was one of our important questions too, that we asked when we were in Limpopo, and was confirmed by the principal. Mr. Mawiri, will you start the presentation, please?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Thank you, DG. Chairperson, the presentation that I'm going to quickly run through is also based in the main questions raised in the last meeting. We've tried to encapsulate almost all the responses that we needed to forward to the committee in this presentation, but as the DG correctly pointed out, more questions could come and discussions could ensue from this presentation. I'm presenting a catch-up plan which was submitted to the Gauteng, the North Gauteng Court by the Limpopo Department of Education. In this presentation, we also define the role of the Department of Basic Education, as correctly pointed out by the DG. A brief background, Chairperson, it's really attempting to answer the question that I think probably we have not succeeded in communicating to the public. The major problem for late delivery of textbooks is located in a bigger problem which was around budgetary and cash flow problems in the Limpopo provincial administration. The records indicate that by the end of the 2011 and 12 financial year, the Limpopo Education Department had overrun its budget by close to 1.3 billion. Now, government works on the available cash flow. If you don't have a cash flow, unless if you have arranged overdraft facilities, you will not be able to activate any activity that leads to financial commitments. I think that explanation is extremely important. This necessitated the intervention of the national executive as provided for by the Constitution in terms of Section 101B. The problem, as indicated and as we tried to communicate to the public and to our internal stakeholders, was in the main around cash flow problems. The Limpopo Education Department, from education outcomes and learner performance, have progressed over the past 3 years. For instance, in respect of the grade 12 results, the Limpopo Education Department has recorded 15% improvement over the past 3 years, which says that in terms of learning outcomes and learner performance, there has been a steady improvement in the department. And of course, emphasizing the point around the main problem being budgetary and cash flow problems. As we already know that the department is one of the five departments that were based under administration for the reasons that I've stated already. The main aim of Section 101B was really to normalize and stabilize these five departments, but also come up with sustainable remedies, but also ensuring that whatever interventions are introduced become part of the system, become endemic in the system, but also putting in place systems that are operational, that can be relied upon. And these were the main objectives of the intervention. And as I've already indicated, part of the problem, because if you have cash flow problems, then you're unable to place orders. Now, the Limpopo Education Department was unable to procure textbooks for 2012 calendar year. Now, Chairperson, I need to emphasize the point. The procurement and delivery of textbooks is an 18-month cycle. 18-month cycle. If you are to deliver the beginning of this year, or to make sure that all learners have the learning and teaching support material, the process should have commenced in 2010, November, for you to be able to conclude that process at least around October of 2011, so that learners have the learning and teaching support materials beginning of the school calendar year. It's a maximum of 18 months born out of research done by GBE and also compared with what is happening in Africa and international. Maximum 18 months, minimum 12 months to deliver LTSM. And what is also important is that this problem coincided with the implementation of the curriculum and assessment policy statement in the foundation phase and grade 10, which then became crucial because learners would have definitely needed the materials. The intervention team, they prioritized the delivery of textbooks, but because there were cash flow problems, all that you could rely upon is the ensuing financial year, and as we all know, the financial year of government starts from the 1st of April of every year. And the intervention team then had to use the money allocated for the 2013 school calendar year to procure the material for 2012 school calendar year. Just to bring that balance between the school calendar year and the financial year, which means that you procure for the ensuing school calendar year from your outgoing financial year. That's how it has worked historically. Now, a bit of figures, and Chairperson, I must emphasize the point that we have updated the presentation from the one that we forwarded yesterday, particularly from this slide, to bring in information that came to our attention last night and probably early hours of this morning, so that we make sure that we bring you up to speed with the latest, particularly around the delivery of textbooks. In terms of quantities of textbooks delivered to schools, which is based on the IT company that has been doing this work for grade 10, and we have delivered, as indicated here, which is 972,650, which was ordered, and then 957,000 to 989 delivered to schools. These are books that were ordered and then delivered to schools, as confirmed by the system of the IT company. I know that there's an issue about this in terms of our previous reporting of deliveries from the central warehouse to the district warehouses and then to schools. Now we are talking about deliveries to schools, nowhere else but to schools. Grade 11, we procure 20% top-up. And then, because it's just 20% top-up, you had 31,213, which was ordered, and then we have delivered 30,585. The differences are that you always put in about 2 to 5% extra in case something happens. And in case, you know, the number changes in some areas because of the migration and so on, it's very difficult to anticipate. So you need to have extra so that if schools report shortages, then you are able to take from what you have ordered and deal with the shortages. In terms of grade 12, also we provided 20% of top-ups, and in this regard, as you can see, it's 244,596 which was ordered, and then 804 which was delivered. In terms of grade 1 to 3, we ordered here big books, readers and big books. I assume that all of us understand this is for initial readers, which will be more about pictures, less of text, because these learners are just taking from step one in terms of reading. And then the graded readers will then add more text, and then the second part of this consignment was the phonics program. And in this regard, we have ordered 17,000 218 texts, it's texts, not books. And then we delivered 17,176 texts delivered to schools. These texts are used in group work for learners. They are not provided for individual learners. To supplement the workbooks. And on this one, I want to put my head on the block. The work that is on your big books, your graded readers and phonics, you'll get it in workbooks. Not to the extent that is covered in your big books, graded readers and phonics. Now, each learner would have a workbook containing part of the work that is covered in these three consignments that I've referred to. Well, we can then report that 1,265,677 textbooks and packs were ordered, and then 1,000,000 236,554 textbooks and texts were delivered to schools. It must be noted that the grade 1 to 3 pack consists of 3 volumes per pack, per grade, as I've already explained. In total, therefore, it would be 51,654 volumes of big books, graded readers, phonics programs, which were ordered, and 51,528 which were delivered. Also, in all the quantities of the books mentioned, we want to make the point that we exclude the back orders or supplementary books included in the addendum catalog and a stock that was not available as at the 3rd of June when the orders were placed. Because orders were placed based on the availability of stock. And some of the information that I will provide later on will then give us an update. For instance, there were deliveries yesterday, there were deliveries a week before this one, particularly in around Isitsonga and Sizenda. And those books were not available when orders were placed. The publishers didn't have them in stock. What is then the system that we have in place to tell us which learners, which schools have received books and which ones have not received books? Apart from the IT system that we use from the ELPB, reports are collated from the school principal to circuit manager. As the DD correctly indicated, part of the exercise that the minister is carrying out also is to collate, to assist in collating this information together with district and provincial officials. Principals will be requested to indicate in these meetings which of the schools and learners have not received books. And then officials would have to explain as to what would be the reason for those schools or learners for having not received books at that particular point in time. And this information is further collated from the second manager to the district managers, and then the district managers would then forward it to the acting deputy director general for district operations, and the acting DDG would then forward it to the administrator. Today, Chairperson, which is very important, we can report that schools that have not received books would have been schools offering Isitsonga and Isipedi as well as Isivenda. Isipedi simply because of the books that are provided for the PAD foundation phase only, and all of these are foundation phase, grade 1 to 3. In respect of the PAD, because the publisher is, we have a sole publisher here, the price is just unaffordable for the state, and we have resorted to producing additional learning and teaching support material from our developers who develop workbooks to provide support material to learners who are offered, because the state is unable to afford the titles that are provided in CPAD because of the high rocketing prices that are charged by the publisher. And these are the figures that we are repeating again to say we can therefore repeat that to date it's 1,236 and 31 textbooks which have been procured and delivered for grade 1, 2, 3, and 10. I've explained this part of overpriced books, particularly in respect of the CPD, and also the notion of publishers that did not have stock at the time when the orders were placed, and those materials which came only to be covered under the addendum of the catalogue. What is important, which you should know about, I know that it should be in your report of the last visit to Limpopo, is that the team has succeeded in negotiating prices with publishers. For instance, Chairperson, in one instance is that the team was able to get 3 textbooks for a price of 1 on the catalog. For instance, a book would be 150 rand as a price, but because of the negotiated reduced price, such a book would come down to 50 rand per book. And that's the point that we are trying to make. This is consistent with the decision taken by GEM to ensure that we have a core textbook in every subject for every learner by 2014. And let me make the point, Chairperson, because you'd appreciate the fact that there's an issue in the public from one province to the other, learners saying they don't have a universal coverage of textbooks. I think it's a prevalence in the system. It's not something of this year. In fact, in 2007, the summit report indicated that the textbook coverage in South Africa was at 45% overall, and 36% in math and science. Now, with the introduction of workbooks, and that's really the rationale behind printing, distributing textbooks to bridge on this gap or to plug on this gap. And the Council of Education Ministers then said the target should be by 2014, every learner must have a core textbook in every subject. And in Limpopo, I can report that has started with this process, particularly with your grade 11, grade 12, and grade 10, and including your foundation phase with this exercise. Yeah. In FET, we have achieved it with the distribution of the math and science textbooks, as you would see in the figures that we are going to share with you. And the next slide is really showing the value of NSAL procurement, as I've explained already, but also adding here to say that the minister is also, as part of the meetings that have been taking place, communicated with principals and officials to use the national call center number, which is indicated there, which would afford a shorter turnaround time as compared to what used to happen, which is about 3 days that we are looking forward to. In respect of any problems, not only shortages, any issue that principals might have around delivery of textbooks or any related matter in this regard. The procurement process for 2013 has commenced. And I can report here, Chairperson, as I said in the workshop that you had recently, all provinces have submitted the procurement plans for the 2013 school calendar year. We have assessed those plans. We have requested them to align them with the national time frames that are set, as would usually do. And our time frame was that all provinces should ensure that at least by the 31st of August, the learning and teaching support material has been delivered to schools. At the latest, by the 30th of March, all provinces, without exception, should have delivered the learning and teaching support material. And I'm saying learning and teaching support material because it's textbooks and stationery that learners use to write. So the cutoff date is the 30th of November 2012 for what is going to be used in 2013. And in Limpopo, we've been part of the process. I've had a number of meetings there with publishers, and publishers have also appreciated the fact that they have enough time. We are not only monitoring the procurement by provinces, we are also monitoring the responses by publishers, so that if publishers are unable to meet the deadline, we are also able to take action against them. Because it's not only about provinces placing their orders on time, it's also about some publishers who are unable to meet their deadlines. And this time around, we're also going to monitor them. If they fail to meet their deadlines, we'll take action against them. A brief reflection then, Chairperson, to just look at the issue of the impact of the late delivery of textbooks for the 2012 school calendar year. And I'm saying there are key activities that need to be taken into account to help us to evaluate the impact. As the DG said, it's important that we do that pedagogically. It's important that we do that in the interest of making sure that the interest of the learner is at the center of everything that we do. The subject advisors and curriculum planners were taken through an orientation program of grade 1 to 3 and 10, which I was part of every step of the way. And they were provided with training manuals and the CAPS documents. And these documents are extremely important. because they don't only tell you of the changes between the old and the new, but they also help you how to navigate those changes in the classroom, providing that assistance to teachers. And I'm therefore saying that training was then cascaded to teachers to help them with the planning and the execution of teaching for grade 1, 2, 3, and 10. And therefore, having been fully prepared to carry out this responsibility, Chairperson, and we are continuing to monitor this exercise. We've done that recently in provinces in preparation for 2013 for grade 4 to 6 and grade 11. And we are also looking at challenges that are emerging with the implementation of grade 1 to 3. And our view is that teachers have been able to teach effectively because of this level of preparedness. Nowhere did we receive any complaint either at HEDCOM, subcommittees of HEDCOM, or even CEM, where either principals or teachers are reporting difficulties of implementing the caps for foundation phase and grade 10. Now, this is very important also, Chairperson, because as I said earlier on, what would have been covered by graded readers, by your big books and phonics is also covered in the workbooks. The workbooks were provided beginning of this year. The learners and schools of Limpopo would have had these workbooks as provided here, the figures as indicated in this slide, and I'm not going to go through these figures. For foundation phase, the workbooks covered all subjects, all the four subjects that are provided for in the foundation phase. And as you will see, in terms of the LET band, the LET phase, your grade 10, grade 11 and 12, we provided the math and science textbooks, informed by the rationale that major changes happened in your math and science, where what historically used to be the content of the subject of grade 12 was now spread over grade 10, 11 and 12. To be proactive, we provided these math and science textbooks so that your grade 10 learners do not struggle. They engage immediately with the new content that is provided for these subjects. Now, grade 1 to 3, as I've already indicated, we're covered in terms of the workbook beginning of the year. In terms of grade 10, we provided the math and science textbook from the title was titled and beginning of the year as well. The last delivery happened on the 12th of February. For other subjects that are not covered in terms of what I mentioned, they could still rely on old textbooks given the analysis that is made in the document that was submitted and accepted by the North Gauteng High Court. Chairperson, just to make a few points here, that the CAPS documents are really based on the National Curriculum Statement, which was introduced in 2008. And we are saying here that CAPS are really intended to strengthen the implementation of the National Curriculum Statement. What led to the CAPS was that teachers complained that the content in terms of the National Curriculum Statement was very difficult to organize because it was left to teachers to do that. The pacing, the planning, the teachers had to do. The CAPS documents have done that for teachers. They've organized the content. They've also structured the content in such a way that a learner in KZN or in Limpopo, by the end of the first quarter of the school calendar year, should have covered the same amount of work with a learner in Sandton or the center of Johannesburg. It makes it easy for monitoring and assessment because you'll be monitoring the same work which should have been covered with the same anticipated period. Now, just to make the point here that the National Curriculum Statement is actually based on the three important documents. The first one is the National Protocol for Assessment for Grade R to 12, which deals with the assessment issues. and then the national policy pertaining to the program on progression requirements for NCS, which is grade R to grade 12, and very important, the point that I've made earlier, TEPs are part of the national curriculum treatment. They are about strengthening the existing curriculum. The curriculum has not changed. It has been organized. It has been properly structured to make it easy and better for teaching and then planning. And therefore, Chairperson, we want to make the statement that given this explanation that we have provided, delayed delivery of textbooks wouldn't have, in all instances, obviously affected the teaching and learning as it has been suggested. And the catch-up plan which was submitted to the North Gauteng High Court towards the end of July, the Limpopo Education Department also submitted a progress report to the same court. And in this regard, because the catch-up plan was in the name based on the development of guides for all the subjects that were involved for the foundation phase in grade 10, the Limpopo Education Department in its report then indicated that the subject guides have been developed in following subjects, as you can see, covering all of this. And just to emphasize the point, in terms of grade 10, Chairperson, I know that your researchers will be able to do this. They can also go and check for technology subjects. There are no changes. For all technology subjects, you don't have any change in if you compare the old textbook and the Catalan textbook. And in addition what is covered by the Limpopo Catch-up Plan, the Department of Basic Education has also developed the Mind the Gap Study Guide series, and in September, DDE will distribute the Grade 12 Mind the Gap titles in four subjects, as indicated here, Life Sciences, Accounting, Geography, and Economics. The drafts, which are actually final drafts of this Mind the Gap, have already been given to officials of the Limpopo Education Department, and I have done that. I carried out that responsibility, so I can confirm that this information has been given to the officials as part of preparing for the spring vacation camp for the grade 12 learners. Now, in respect of the role, the broad role provided by DVE as part of the efforts to restore the relationship with stakeholders and to instill stability and focus on teaching and learning, the Minister of Basic Education convened meetings with principals to share information on the following areas: Section 101B, the financial situation in the province and in the department, procurement and delivery of textbooks for this current school calendar year, plan to procure for 2013 school calendar year, and transfer payments of norms and standards for operational costs in schools, the issue of curriculum coverage, accountability and time on task, and then preparation for the administration of ANA. As we all know that on the 18th of September, ANA will be administered to grade 1, to 6 and grade 9 learners in the system, as well as the preparation for grade 12 exams. The Minister of Basic Education also requested that she be afforded the opportunity to run off a meeting with principals where she will assess from inputs received from stakeholders whether there's any need for extra tuition required for learners, as the DG indicated earlier on. This last meeting, the DG has also covered this one, will be completed this week. Principals and officials alike were unanimous in expressing their appreciation for the meetings convened by the minister, particularly the information that was shared with them. And their view was that such a meeting was long overdue, especially around the issue of the delivery of textbooks this year. And I think we've tried to indicate that the department procured and delivered in terms of what could be affordable, not in terms of what the principals had placed as orders before. In fact, what they would need, not in terms of what they had placed as orders before. The principals then requested that DBE provide support for basic functionality, because many of the schools are struggling in terms of basic functionality, but also particularly for grade 12 learners to provide support in mathematics and science with the scientific calculator, and as well as curriculum enrichment program such as spring vacation classes. Principals were quite explicit in these meetings when they interacted with the minister. The DBE support and monitoring chairperson, as I conclude, DBE constituted a Limpopo catch-up task team, comprised DBE officials, the unions, provincial representatives, and some of the meetings have been taking place quite recently, NGOs as well as corporates. And this is the 10-point plan that the DG referred to. DBE, in consultation with the task team, has prepared the 10-point catch-up plan for the provincial enrichment in Limpopo to provide additional support and monitoring to the Limpopo Education Department catch-up plan. The plan covers these areas, Chairperson, briefly: community radio broadcasts, the television viewing centers, the examination newspaper supplements, the spring vacation camps, math and science tuition, and in respect of additional support and monitoring to ensure that we have ongoing functionality of schools in Limpopo, the DBE remains committed in fulfilling its monitoring and support function by ensuring effective teacher development programs, which are also based on workbooks and textbooks. In the meetings that the minister had with principals, some of the principals emphasized the point that there's a need to have only one textbook for a subject so that it informs your teacher development progress. In other countries, it's mandatory that you only provide one textbook. Supplemental textbooks parents and learners can acquire at their own volition, but the state only provides one throughout the entire system, so that it makes easy for your teacher development program. The teacher development program will also be based on the textbooks that you are providing to teachers to make it easy for improved learning outcomes and learner performance. Well, the other area is about grade 12 vacation enrichment program, learner support, also monitoring the basic functionality of schools by senior managers. But in terms of the way forward, which is the last slide, Chairperson, is that DBE commits to report progress on a regular basis, on regular intervals, on the catch-up plan. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Ms. Mawiri, for this comprehensive report that we have received now from the department. I would like to open the report to questions of clarity and any questions that members has in mind when it comes to this report. I'll start I don't like you people stand aside. I'll start with Honorable Marco Vela, and then it's Honorable Hanyahu, and then I'll go to Honorable Mpanjana, Honorable Lafo, the Kobo, and then Honorable Mshwana. And then I think let us start off with three questions, because I think this is something that's very important. And I'm sure you people have a lot to say about this. So let's start with three. Because even if we don't complete our last report, let us just go through the two reports very thoroughly that we're doing this morning. Thank you. Honourable Marco Vela.
Thanks, Chairperson. And perhaps the first for me will be Chair to allow me to start from the apology and accept the sincere apology given by the DG on what transpired in the last week. I take it that perhaps he needed to do that apology himself, and I find it befitting for him to be able to express that. However, Chair, having said that, few questions still remain. So one to get exactly what has happened, or perhaps even before I get there. Lately, there has been another dumping of textbooks, whether that is textbooks or workbooks, around the areas of Palabur. And my trying to interact or follow up situation, it does seem like it's not necessarily the property of the department, or might not have been required by the department, and the publishers were quick to either want to deal with the official or something like that. Perhaps this house, Chairperson, should be assured what is going on. Yes, you may not know everything, but would want to be informed as to what is it, what could be the motive. Are there some people who are supposed to be beneficiaries elsewhere benefiting from this whole exercise to the extent that they might be fueling it? Or there's some people, it's out of this world to think of textbooks and workbooks when there are so much needed done all over. I don't think that any person who's rational who could be on their way to doing something like that. And perhaps we need to get to the bottom of that. My second issue, Chair, there's one part that continues to be a problem, which should be cleared once and for all, and I don't understand why it's persisting to affect us. When we went to the to Limpopo, the administrator and his team there tried to explain, and when we met principals, but not principals necessarily, even stakeholders, that some teaching has taken place. Today we are even being told the same thing. But somewhat, there are those who believe nothing has happened or was not happening between January and now, because there was no delivery of textbooks. And then that's not sure whether the information that is said time and again is not getting home, or there's a particular problem. Either there's no truth somewhere. But again, when principals were met with the minister, it's like they think there's something that has taken place in the classroom. But I also know that some principals were interviewed by the media, and they actually gave this impression that the lack of online delivery or delay thereof of this textbook impacted seriously on the situation. Where are these principals coming from when there are these other principals who seem to say some work was going on? Lastly, sir, because I'm not necessarily to say everything that which I need to have interest on, it's on the subject guides, which are said to have been developed. Have they been developed and distributed or delivered to these schools? How far is that process now? We should get to know whether they are being used or they have just been developed but not yet published and delivered somewhere. Because time here is of essence. If they have to come very late, they may not necessarily serve the purpose. The catch-up testing that has been established, what is the duration? How do we monitor it and ensure that it has the necessary impact so that they don't just do things like it's business as usual, you know, with top teams which are there, but you don't see the delivery or impact in terms of their scope of work. Yes, perhaps if there's time, I may come back later, but let me allow other members to raise their questions, because I should believe all of us do have many.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just need clarity on page, I think page 3 about the material delivered and material ordered, because there is a difference there. I'm not very sure what happened. Is it because what was ordered was not delivered in those quantities that were ordered, or what is happening? Because I see a difference between the ordered material and the delivered material. Because one can go to an extent of reaching wrong conclusion and say maybe the difference is the goods that perhaps were dumped, because they were ordered and did not reach the schools. So I just want some clarity on that, maybe they were not supplied. The second issue is on page 15, I think towards the end of the presentation, on greater vacation enrichment classes. I just want to understand the difference between this and the winter schools that the grade 12 learners normally attend in preparation for the end of the year examinations. Is it the same thing? If it is the same thing, then I'm clear. But I just wanted to know whose responsibility is it to make sure that the kids attend this course. In my opinion, this is not compulsory. Now, if it is something to do with catch-up, obviously, I personally believe that if it is part of the catch-up, it must be compulsory, because I assume that they have all been disadvantaged. So maybe something about that would help. But the last thing is about, maybe it is not really 100% part of what we are discussing here, but you know, indirectly, it affects this. The grading of books is also something that isn't very, very, very clear. Why were books shredded, especially new books? Maybe the old ones, there could be reasons that they have been overused, some of the pages are missing or something of that nature. But my worry is about the new books that were still in the plastic containers. I'm saying this because I went to, my home is not far from the place where this thing took place. I went there. I don't know whether it was out of curiosity or what, but I went there just to witness, to see what is happening. I saw books of, you know, very new books that were still in plastic containers, 8 in one bag. And I took the titles, and so they include photos, must be honest, so that if somebody says they were old, I can show him that they were new. So I don't know why they were shredded, because some were shredded, some were not yet shredded. They were on the way with the shredding machine. So I don't know why that had to happen. And if they were perhaps redundant, but why were they ordered in the first place? Why were they ordered? Ordered in order to go to the shredding machine? That is what is in my mind. Can I get some clarity on that? Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. You can put off your mic, please. DG, we asked those living in Limpopo to come to the warehouse on behalf of the committee. That's why these questions. And I think what you should add in is the exercise books, because we have books that people can still write in. So add in the exercise books too. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DG, and the presenter. The major weakness in all this seems to be, according to the presentation, the inability of the province to procure and deliver textbooks for the 2012 school calendar year. Now, there are questions related to that. My question would be, if that's the case, were there any early warning signs? And in all this, where the province failed to deliver, what was the role of the provincial delivery unit in all this? But most importantly, and a very important variable in the whole debacle. If you could throw some light on this one, the role of absolution in all this. And also, because I read in the press, in the newspaper, that Professor Volmi, for instance, is the founder member of Better Solution. Remember, Volmi was appointed by the minister to head the evaluation unit in the department, and he suddenly resigned. Is there any connection? And also, still on the Air to Solution, on the TV, one of their spokespersons, Mr. Temba Ndlovu, made a very important statement regarding shifting the blame to the Minister of Basic Education. Remember also, Temba Ndlovu was DTG in the KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Education, and also elected as the head of that department, and he suddenly resigned, and we found him in Air to Solution now. What is the role of this and of Air to Solution in the whole debate, if we could throw some light on that one? And also, you are saying this time around you are going to negotiate the reduction of prices in the national catalog. That is very good. But why has the department just woken up to this fact? Was it not aware that the prices were very high? And also that it seems the department has also woken up to the fact that each learner must have a core textbook. You say this is what you will make sure now. And also you are saying you are going now to have, which is good, a cut-off date for the delivery of textbooks in quarter 2 in March. What has happened previously? You didn't have any cut dates. Provinces just decide on themselves when to deliver this. Because you're saying, in fact, from your work, this time around, we're going to monitor the provinces this time around. That's what you said. So it means before this, there was no monitoring by the Department of Basic Education on what was happening. And lastly, on the orientation program for both advisors and teachers, how effective are these orientation programs? Because I can see they're saying this with confidence that this time around these are going to work. But most importantly, how are you going to monitor the classroom effectiveness of these programs to ensure that they are, in fact, effective? Thank you.
You took a chance, Anton Bashani. Yes, we had 4 questions, and outside it came out to 5. Honorable Lassen? Yes. Do not follow his example. That I put him next to you to ask him, but you did not.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I'd also like to start with the apology by the Director General, which I appreciate sincerely. I am sorry, however, that it's qualified. And I just want to start by quoting the DG. We recognize unequivocally that grade 10 is critical for the reasons that unfolded this year. We need to focus on the problems that relate to non-delivery of LTSM in grade 10 in 2012. Okay. Now, the Minister is going to be assessing the impact of late delivery of LTSM. The DG has already said that grade 10 is critical and that we need to focus on the problems. So, Chair, I'm sitting with a lot of confusion. And I think let me go through chronologically. Some quick comments, Chair, before I get to questions. On page 6, it is indicated that teachers were fully prepared for implementation and were therefore able to teach effectively. Now, this ties up with the statements that we constantly hear, and it's not the first time today or last week. We heard it when we visited Limpopo as well, that there has not been an impact or that there has not been a dramatic impact on learning and teaching because of the lack of textbooks. That learning and teaching has, in fact, taken place. We were told today by Mr. Mweli that nowhere did, and I'm quoting again, nowhere did we receive any complaints that principals or teachers have had any problem implementing CAPS either in grades 1 to 3 or in grade 10. Now, I personally visited principals in Limpopo and I asked them about their problems. I received very different messages. Perhaps it might be, and I'm speculating, perhaps it might be that principals are actually afraid of making career-threatening statements when they are talking to the head of curriculum development in the Department of Basic Education, but they don't have to be as afraid when they are talking to me, who cannot take any action against them, for instance. So principals have told me how they have taken, and my colleagues, how they have taken the promotional copies that they received last year of the textbooks from the various publishers, how they have made copies for themselves, because they haven't had money to make copies for every learner, and how they have taught from those. Many errors in those, many omissions in those, because they were promotional copies. They have had, according to the principals with whom I have spoken, they have had serious problems. So we certainly have differences of opinion. A comment also on page 7, the delivery of maths and physical science textbooks. These are the Shuttleworth textbooks. Now, there's some misunderstanding here. In fact, Mary Metcalf also indicated that she didn't fully understand this issue. You might decide at another stage to clarify it or not. But I raised questions to the Minister for parliamentary questions for written reply on the Shuttleworth textbooks. The Minister replied that the Shuttleworth textbooks were developed as a supplementary resource. They are not primary textbooks. The decision was then made in Limpopo that you would not order math and science textbooks because the Shuttleworth textbooks were in place. They were in place. They were never designed to be primary textbooks, however. So that I have a major concern with. Now, you spoke, let me go to page 9, where we deal again with the assumption that, the premature assumption in my view, that the lack of textbooks adversely affected teaching and learning, and the statement here is that it is to some extent erroneous. And the DG indicated, or Mr. Mweli, I think, in fact, indicated that the catch-up plan had been submitted to the court and had been accepted by the court. Now, the report on the catch-up plan actually says that the guides have been developed. It says they've been developed, as we were told today, and it says this was submitted to the court, I think, on the 27th of July. Not sure, but towards the end of July. The report that's submitted to North Gauteng High Court says the guides are currently being quality assured and this process will be completed by the 3rd of August 2012. Printing of the delivery of the guides will take place before the end of August 2012. That is what was submitted to the court. Now, what we're being told today is quite a different story, in fact. We're told that the catch-up plan or the study guide has been developed. But we are also told that the minister is in Limpopo. And the minister is meeting with principals and she will assess from the input from the principals whether any extra tuition will be required. And that the last meetings will take place in the third week of August. Now, please can we understand, are the study guides, they certainly haven't been printed and delivered yet. Are the study guides linked to the extra tuition? Will there be study guides or will they not? Will there be extra tuition or will they not? Linked to that is on page 14. the 10-point plan. You talk about spring vacation camps prepared and delivered by InReach and maths and science tuition as prepared and delivered by winning teams. Now, I've researched both PennReach and winning teams. I have no problem with the people that you're using. You make no indication here at whom these are aimed. Are these grade 10 or is it grade 12? It doesn't say. I certainly hope that they are grade 10. I'm interested to hear. If they are grade 10, why are we using outsiders? Is it because of the unions not cooperating with respect to teachers teaching additional hours and demanding additional payment for that? So, bottom line is the learning being affected or not. There is still an assessment being made. In my view, a premature assessment was made and is biasing current assessments. Are there study guides or are there not? Will there be additional tuition or will there not? I, in my view, the plan is still vague. There's a lot of substance, but I'm not sure that the substance equates to, or there's a lot of detail, but I'm not sure that the detail actually equates to substance. So the plan is still vague. It is still contradictory. Hopefully the answers will clear the contradictions. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Kuro.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll start with two very short questions. The first one relates to the statement that delivery date for LTSM to Limpopo D-date is 30th November 2020. And my question relates to what we know by now, that money meant for 2018, I'm talking about academic year, money meant for 2018 has been spent in 2012. And there's always been a question in our mind, where are we going to get the money for 2018? Can I relax now and say there is no problem, books have been ordered, so there will be no crisis in 2018? That's the first question. The second question, Charissa, maybe just to say that last week I also found myself having to visit schools in Limpopo. And what I had, and I want to check here, you are asked to talk about delivery of books. I got this from one principal, but because I didn't want to generalize, I ended up interacting with 18 other schools. And what I get is the same. They said to me, no, when you talk about delivery of books, nobody delivers set work to us anymore. And the same from 2006. In other words, if this book is prescribed, for example, it's a novel or verb or whatever, in any of the languages, these books are not being delivered at all. They are just being prescribed. We must run around and see how to finish. All the 19 schools that I spoke to said, yes, that is the case. Is the National Department aware of it? Is this a Limpopo phenomenon or something that is happening countrywide? Where we are only delivering textbooks, that if we deliver them on time, that is. But that prescribed books, as in said, where are not being delivered. I need clarification on that one. The last one, Chairperson, I'm really going to express my disappointment and call for plain speak when we respond to this thing. Honorable Makubele touched on this one, the DG also, and Honorable Lovemore. Look, I'm a teacher, and I know teaching has taken place. There's no doubt about that. With or without the books that you are talking about. And nobody must say that I don't know this fact. Because I have children, they never came back and said, we are not being taught, books have not been delivered. So there is no doubt about this one, that there was teaching taking place. And they are also saying, well, they could have used old checkbooks, fair. And thirdly, we are saying, well, at any rate, CAPS is based on NPS. Now, it's developing to something, I'm going to come to that one.
Because if we are not careful, departmental officials will come to us here and say to us, therefore, there was no prejudice on the learner. And that's my biggest fear, and that's my biggest disappointment. We can't here come here and imply that there was never a problem in the first place. Why did people have to go to court then and go and make certain undertakings? Because while teaching was taking place, well, they could have used old textbooks, well, at any rate, kept it based on LCS. And therefore, there is no problem. I am scared. And I want the department. And you know, Honorable Lafmo says this very nice. I also wrote it here. So as a result, Honorable Enjoseph is in the Limpopo province, and 2 days from now, it will be determined whether any extra tuition is required. I'm scared. What is catch-up plan that excludes tuition? I am scared. What is catch-up plan that does not have tuition in it? And then when you talk about tuition, well, something will happen on radio. And hope that our children will be listening to radio at that time. And then we talk about these other entities, Penridge and the winning team and others. Here, in this 10-point plan, Honorable Chairperson, there is nothing that talks about somebody sitting with a learner or standing in front of a learner to assist this learner. Maybe it's not there because we are saying this learner has suffered no prejudice at all. I'm worried, Chairperson. Maybe my hearing is poor, or maybe my analysis is terrible, but I am scared. We are going to live here. We people say we are not even sure that this learner needs extra tuition. Then what is such a plan? Thanks.
Thanks a lot for that. And there was come to the question that you asked on the procurement funds for 2013. If we look at 5, they say they speak in their professions, but I want to know, add it up to your one, whether it's verbal or in writing, because those things are important. You came up with a correct question, but just also the department has to tell us whether it's verbal or in writing, because those things are important. That's my shishi now, eh? Honorable Shishi and then Honorable Mishuana.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the comprehensive report. My question, or maybe first in my question, some of my colleagues have covered me in some of the questions. So I'll just ask about the on page 4, where they talked about the procurement and delivery textbooks, where they were talking not the six textbooks for Sitonga, CPD, and Kivenda. I just wanted to know when is this school going to receive those books. And then again on page 7, on the printing and delivery of workbooks, I'm worried about Waterbank. That number is very low. What is happening about Waterbank on page 7? And lastly, on page 13, on the catch-up testing, I just want to know about the time frame. Is this testing already working or not? Or when is this testing to work? Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, thank you. And I want to start by saying, Haibu, what's up? Because we are sitting here, and actually I'm glad that somewhere, that I don't want to refer anyone to any page with going through this, all of us. Interpretation of the challenge is crucial. I'm sure we agree that we need to interpret it correctly so that it does not okay. That's what was requested. And I want to interpret. That's what we've been requested to do. Limpopo, to me, seemingly, has chosen as a loading ground for, I think, 2014. That's my own interpretation, my honest interpretation. And God forbid, cats and dogs and whatever will dance in Limpopo. In the Eastern Cape, there was a time when these things happened. And unless if you are not sitting here as a political person, you will close your eyes and not see that something is happening politically. So what are we supposed to do? We were supposed to sit here and say, no, we are aware. that these are the plans for 2014, and we can't go and take down the minds of those people because they believe that if they frequent Limpopo, for sure something will happen come 2014. And that is unfortunate, because we're using the learners, you don't care what, everything is undermined as long as the political game is like given hands. So we need to open our eyes and deal with it head on. The three languages that are mentioned in Limpopo, those are the main languages in Limpopo. You talk of Sipedi, Xitsonga, and then, and it's like you chose a few languages, you know? All the languages in Limpopo are not given a chance. And that is worrying, because those are the most spoken languages in Limpopo. And if you want to destroy a nation, you destroy their language. Is somebody out to deal with Limpopo? Because definitely you go to Limpopo today and speak these three languages, a high percentage of people will understand you. We are saying we need to interpret this correctly so that it will be correct. You can, like, there are 15 languages, 11, but in South Africa we have 11. And, like, if you say three, we understand that there is still eight. It's not so. In Limpopo, you go to Limpopo today, the three languages that I mentioned here, those are the languages that are mostly spoken. And of course, because we had to understand each other, you know, we had to speak the language that I'm speaking. It's certainly in all the 9 provinces of this country. But these people speak in their houses in Limpopo, they speak this language. And I say, whoever is behind this must just change their mind. We are begging for mercy, because it doesn't help to sit here and debate, and there's some quarters where there are serious claims. It's like people who go about raping old people or killing people. They have meetings. You know, there's meetings, they plan, and their plan is so perfect. You know, if you watch and they show you how it's done to one old lady and the next week it's done to somebody else, and the way these criminals are allowed to roam this country and become rulers. Because you can't have a plan and you are known that there are criminals in this particular place, and it's like it's allowed to find it, there's become a profession. I take it as the same thing. I say, South Africa, it's time to wake up and deal with this thing politically, because clearly this is a political issue. And then November, the time frame for delivering of books, like those books, some of them here, yes, for some of us says back when the last one, it's not new. We knew that the August, between August and November, books should be delivered. It's nothing that is starting today. Besides that, there was no way learners were not going to learn this year because the books were not delivered this year. There were books delivered last year. I accept the report that are saying teaching is happening there. If people continue to say that there is no teaching, maybe there was a plan that we don't know from other quarters, that if books are not delivered, they won't be teaching. It will happen this year. Perhaps next year we might be sitting with the challenge, because you don't deliver books this year for this year. So that I don't know why people don't accept that teaching. You might even be surprised if Limpopo will be among the top five. If there won't be any robbery, it's because teaching is happening. We expect teaching to happen because the books released this year cannot disturb the program of this year. And then, lastly, every learner by 2014, inclusive of those who will resume school between now and then, between now and 2014, why should we sit here and like say from now on every learner between now and 2014 will be able to receive books? And if I didn't understand the statement correctly, because this plan has been there, like I'm saying, it has been. It's nothing serious. It's not like it's a big wonderful plan that came. It's happening. Books have been delivered. And books were delivered exactly in the same pattern. It's nothing. What you and I and everybody sitting here must do is to go out and say, let us not use the learners for the end. Let's be honest. Let's have some conscience. For God's sake, let's have some conscience. Because we can't just do things to gain for ulterior motives. Because that's it. Even if nobody says it, done for ulterior motives. If everybody stands up and says Limpopo is like people from Limpopo all of a sudden have lost their mind, who haven't? It's just some people have targeted Limpopo, and are saying, if there are some people related to those here, please stop it. Thank you.
Hi, before I get to Honorable Kina.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to find out one thing. Under normal circumstances, don't we use extra classes? Don't we use catch-up plans? Are these meant only for state of emergency situations like Limpopo?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let's also thank the very comprehensive report that you have received today. And Chairperson, I can say proudly so that at least today the report has given us hope as to say something is happening and we are assured of results, better results in Limpopo. And let me thank the department for that. Chairperson, firstly, I think it is very good that the department has linked the case with the NCS and clarified the issue to the committee and the community at large, because we even have media here. Because I think by so doing, really, we are clear, this cloud is a little bit clarified to say, how do we relate to the two? It's not the new thing altogether, so that we don't fall in the trap, and some of us have fallen today. They're not teaching and learning taking place. I'll follow precisely on Honorable Dukoko's saying, when you say sometimes it's good when you talk of this thing with an experience. As a teacher myself for so many years, I know exactly that they must have been teaching and learning taking place in Limpopo with all the background that has been put in this committee today. So really, that good relationship and the comparison that has been made, I think it has cleared some of the fears. Because I'll just believe there's a fear and the concerns is a public representative. So people might think even more, and even on the thing which sometimes you don't even well understand, but really on the side of that, I think it has been well captured. And sometimes, Chairperson, when such things happen in life, like the unfortunate thing that has happened in Limpopo when it comes to textbooks, it can happen that it has opened more doors for better education to take place in the province. Why am I saying that? When we talk of all the things that the department have done to intervene to making sure that we get quality teaching and learning in the Limpopo, you see that at the end, what I'm even suspecting, it's possible to say that you can find the Limpopo overtaking almost all the provinces, because now I think there's so much that is being pumped into that province and getting from the feedback that we got even when you're there is the portfolio committee, looking at the commitment the teachers had, the unions, the principal association, I think really this intervention is going to help. But coupling that with that care, I think we must commend the department again on the program that they have more specifically for the FET phase. Yes, indeed, we want them to concentrate more on grade 10 because we believe that is where the textbooks were not there. But the way they've cooperated, the whole effort phase, for me, it clarifies that, yes, if ever there were gaps, of which I believe the gaps will always be there, when it comes to maybe subject matter, the subject content, and with grade 10, where our learners are starting with the effort phase. Now the comprehensive approach that they are coming up with of catering for the whole FET phase or FET then, I think, as I'm saying, from the unfortunate part thing, we might be seeing good fruits coming. I think really with this program coming up with all these guys, we are going to be assured that you are going to get a very good product starting from this year. And I can say, if ever we can check these learners that were very unfortunate in grade 10, but their progress up to grade 12. Really, I think we are going to get the best results that we have from all these interventions that have been put today. But with that one of the FET, let us congratulate the department. I think the content gaps, all those gaps will be catered for the way it is put in all the guides. But then talking to the guides that they say they are the HR person, that will be out by September, if I'm not mistaken. I will just join those who need the assurance that those guys will be there, will be out in September, because I think it will be still time for the learners and the teachers to catch up even more and prepare for the final year exams, where because it includes even the grade 12. With the PECs,
we are all in contact with the teachers in all the provinces in Limpopo. I think the text that they are talking about, the big books, the readers, and the phonics programs that have been prepared for Limpopo, they are quite good and they are making a great impact in the foundation phase teaching in that province. My question will be, are we seeing this intervention or these texts spreading to all the provinces? As I'm saying, are we learning from what has happened in Limpopo? Because really, I still believe if ever we can have these texts on top of the learner workbook that the whole country is having, we can make a great change in the foundation phase, and we can have a very concrete base for our learning and teaching when it comes to this. And is that a proposal and the concern is today, can we see this spreading to all the provinces? Yes, Limpopo has proposed this, but we are seeing the good results out of it. So can it be spread to all the provinces? And can we see this thing continuing, not for only this year, because we see now what help our teachers are getting. Lastly, Chairperson, to the department, I don't know really how can we make sure that when it comes to the issue of books at school, because we can be seated each year and after, saying we don't have books at school, and we can expect the book to be delivered to school every year, of which it cannot happen, it has never happened. I don't think there is in the country that's what it happens. I'm concerned, on the policy, the retrieval policy at school. Because maybe when you talk of our freedom and liberation, there are things that we've just taken it for granted. There are things that will just come as a manner of it can never happen. Chairperson, as parents, I'll talk as a parent too. I think we're getting carried now. The property, the state property, the book is known as the state property. That is what has been happening when we're still school, when we're still teaching. And what is stopping that from now? Because there's no way where we can buy books as a country for each and every year, now year after year. What is happening in schools? Country have some regulations being strict as today. The books that are there are kept at school. Because as it is, really, I don't see the country going anywhere, having to spend millions and millions on one and the same book year after year. If ever we don't tighten our policy there, we are not going to achieve it. Chairperson, we are losing it. We are losing it. And in fact, you can go to most of the schools, we are losing it. That is why sometimes we lose our responsibilities to say we cannot withhold the results. Those are the things that were happening to us. I'm not saying we should go back to them, but can we have something really that will help us to make sure that whatever property we have, but we keep on working on it. Last question, I'm also concerned about the issue of the novelties, these books that are not there, that are very expensive, having negotiated with the books in the catalogue, those were not there. But when can we really see them? What are the plans? I know producing books cannot be done maybe overnight, but when can the department promise us that we can see the stronger books, the PD and severe books being produced and then being delivered to the schools, not to disadvantage the learners in that province? Thank you.
Honorable Madisha.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and the members here. Contrary to what the members are saying here, kindly permit it to the committee that I'm quite disappointed in the administration. That in my own understanding, they have not done that which they were supposed to do. Further, that this is the repetition of what was supposed to be done in the past and has not been done altogether. And that is a major, major mistake. And this committee has got to look into that. That's the first thing that I wish to raise. Secondly, to put it to them, what is the total number of children do we have? Do they know? What is the total number of the children in the country that we have? I'm referring to Limpopo, rather, in this instance in particular. I'm saying this because if they say to us that we have taken the X number of books and send them to this area and that area and that area, and now they are unable to come back and say this has been able to get achieved, that to me is a major problem. You remember, Chair, that they said to us, I think a few weeks ago, that books have been delivered in Limpopo in the majority of the areas, and FEDA came back to say that has been further achieved when we raised this thing. But the contrary really was the case. And I can tell you, for example, just like Dikubo was saying, that in Palabora, for example, I'm giving you that example. It is grown in the country. There are no books. Children did not get that. And that appeals the country, the people of our country know that. I've gone to Hatikukuni, for example, in a deep, deep rural area. Children do not have that. And I want that to be positive so that we then can be able to take the country forward. So that we then can be able to ensure that yes, indeed, in our country, that which we have said we must achieve has been achieved. It is not only in those particular areas, but then, like I'm saying, in very many areas around the country. Now, the question that I want to ask is, they are talking about the catch-up plan, and I think some of our members here have raised that. This, in my opinion, is extremely difficult. How is that going to be done? Look, you are talking about 8 months that have been lost. Almost 8 months that have been lost. How many months are you left with before the examination? That has got to be explained. Are we going to write examinations in August next year so that we take a whole year? Or are we going to write the examination after a month or two? You need to say this to us. Because I want to emphasize through you here that the catch-up plan that is put by them is to me not feasible at all. Unless, like I repeat, the antithesis is put on the table. So that has got to be explained. Catch-up plan. How long is it going to take? When are we going to write the examination? When are those children going to write the examination? The remaining with a month. 1 month to catch up on 8 months that has been lost. 1 month to catch up on very many months that have been lost. When they did not get their books, this has got to be given. It has got to be put on the table. I wish to say to you, Chair, that I think you know this, that very many institutions of higher learning have even increased their degrees from about 3 years to 4 years, etc., because of the problems that come as a result of the matric and so on and so on and so forth. We shall talk about that. But that is a major problem. And if you are then saying, not you, but I'm referring to the administration, not you, Chair, the administration is saying to us, take that once again forward and make sure that we have the kind of the nonsense achieved. I want to emphasize that truly our country cannot achieve this kind of thing. Our people cannot take this kind of thing. It is not out of order. So we must take this and really look into them. Now the 10-year, or the 10-point plan, let's take that. Not that simple. It's a good thing. But for when? Not for 2012. From 2013, yes, let's move forward. And make sure that we achieve. But I want to emphasize that by hook or crook, there is absolutely nothing that is going to be achieved at the moment. And therefore, when you go to examinations, what are we going to achieve with this children? Are we just going to say, go to the next class, go to university, etc.? Let this be answered.
You can switch off. Honorable Deja, I'm going to stop you while I'm speaking. but used the word nonsense. And it's unparliamentary to use that word. Father, give us another word in its place. Please.
Well, nonsense, which means no sense.
Just give me another word.
Okay. I do not agree with what has been said. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for drawing. My question, I think no one is touching it. The only touch it here and there is that buy-in in Limpopo. Because look at the minister was in Limpopo. The minister still in Limpopo like consulting. And when it comes to this plan, it has to be carried out by the teachers on the ground. People spoke to teachers here. It should be carried out by the Department of Limpopo. It should be carried out by the district. Go to the district that's near to the school. And then I spoke to the teachers, the trade unions. So I'd like to know whether there was a buy-in when it comes to this plan. Because it just touching it, but not asking the question. Then there was something else too that people just touch on. For example, when it comes to the Honorable Panchana, he spoke about were there early warning systems in place. Because we speak about there is a problem. So if there was a problem, what action was taken? Because we need to know what action. Because a person that did something, and it was within the financial section of that department. Then when it comes to books dumped, just speak broadly to what you are doing about the books dumped. Because we as a committee can't speak to you about charges, but you can set due processes have to follow when something takes place. So just speak broadly. Don't give us space numbers or anything, but just say, what are you doing about this situation? And even when it comes to the shredding of the books, there was supposed to be a policy in place. Just speak broadly to that. Thank you. Mr. Sobrai, I think you are going to you will speak first, then you can indicate to us who is going to answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I will indeed speak first, and then I will call upon Mr. Mueli Main to follow up on some of the other questions. I will respond to the questions in the order in which they have been asked, Honorable Chairperson. Let me first go to the question about the dumping of textbooks by the Honorable Makubela. And to just clarify that this problem has occurred quite prominently in Limpopo. We've had instances in other provinces, for example, in the Free State, there was a very urgent media query, low political parties mobilizing around it, that there were books found in a warehouse somewhere. We then mobilized our own resources to investigate. It turned out it was a publisher who had excess books that left it in a warehouse for national storage, and which it was going to decide what to do with, because they were books for display, they were books aligned to the previous curriculum. In the case of Limpopo, one example now is a publisher books that were dumped. So I make the point that irrespective of which books are dumped, very often it's assigned to the state as a consequence. The other issue with regard to the pattern is that one official who we investigate at the moment, when I say we, I mean the Limpopo Education Department investigating, is an official who found a way of using an official car on the pretext that they're going to deliver a top-up of workbooks from the warehouse to school. That's part of our system to deal with shortages. And to justify that, the official had to load workbooks into the car. But the official had to return without workbooks. Obviously, they couldn't deliver it to the school, and therefore dumped it in between to justify the trouble. Again, it's a corrupt official. It's an official that is not compliant with policy. It's a big issue at this point in time, given the circumstances. And even ordinarily, dumping of books is a big issue. But the point is the department acting on it? Yes, the department is acting on it. We're sitting with a department there from an administrative point of view that's been fairly dysfunctional for quite a few years. That's the reason why Section 100 was introduced in the first place. To expect that the department functioning perfectly would be very short-sighted in one's interpretation of Section 100. Therefore, these problems occur because they are a consequence of dysfunctionality. The big question, though, is, are we doing something about it, and are we ensuring that the causes of these symptoms are addressed in the long term? And I think those are the things that we're dealing with. But Molly can speak about specific things if the committee so desires. About teaching and whether it's happening or not, and, you know, what principals are saying and the difference between principals being interviewed or not. Honourable Lovemore also raised this point. Let me say the following, Honourable Chairperson. One can speculate about who principals will be more open with. The minister, whether it's the portfolio committee as a whole, whether it's a particular political party or whatever. I think we can make the assumption that because it's the minister, they are going to be afraid to speak their mind. I say that just objectively speaking. Objectively, what I'm saying, one person would receive a particular response as opposed to another person. There's a lot of speculation as to what motivates principals for saying what they say. The truth of the matter, though, is that when the minister is with principals, and officials can bear testimony to this, the unions can bear testimony to this, she has allowed open engagement for the purpose of problem solving. She wants to know what the shortages are. And mostly logically, on the Chairperson, it's not in the minister's interest for principal to lie to her. Because afterwards, someone is going to discover the shortages in school. It's in the interest of principals to tell her exactly what's happening. It's in the interest for principals to tell her where the teaching has happened and to what extent. Let me address, while I'm on this point, the issue about extra tuition. And honourable members who've raised it as a concern have done so with justification. The department is committed to expert tuition. The minister is committed to expert tuition. However, and this also responds to the point through you, Chair, on the Lovemore raised, the minister does not want to impose this thing in a one-size-fits-all way in which she assumes what did or did not take place in school. She wants to do it based on the feedback of principals, feedback of teachers, feedback of districts, and indeed the feedback of unions. For example, one of the major unions in Limpopo, the major union, have told us that teaching has taken place, but there are specific areas which need to be focused on. So what she wants to do, contrary to, maybe it's our fault in the way we communicated it today, what she wants to do is to ensure that the catch-up program is specifically defined, defined by the people who know best, which is the teachers and the principals in the schools. That when you embark on execution, it's not based on assumption. In the media again today, some people move from one extreme of there's been no teaching. The last honourable member to speak spoke as if nothing's been taught for 8 months. They didn't give him a good exam next year, August. So it moves from that one extreme, which is a very minority view, I must say, to another extreme, which says all teaching has taken place. Now, isn't it better to check with the principal and the school? And that's exactly what the minister is doing. So to say that, to confirm that execution indeed is something that's part of the program, part of the process. The other one is the subject guide. Mr. Murley will confirm what our distribution deadline is with that one, and the duration for the catch-up, how we monitor. All honourable members who spoke about time, we agree with it fully. Time is of the essence here. It's about catching up now, so that we have caught up with the September exam and dealt with the final exam as well, to make sure that learners are ready for the thing. Let me also say that in past years, we've often picked up problems that appear in grade 10, manifest even earlier than grade 10, but continue in SET, which is why Honourable Ginnard confirmed the view that in all provinces, you focus on the SET as a whole. When we say that, people think we're saying grade 10 is unimportant. No. Leave out at the moment the Limpopo question. In any province, that is the first you've got to use because of the problems that manifest over years in the education system. So we take that point. Honourable Kanyako, Mr. Murray will clarify the difference in the numbers, And then the grade 12 education enrichment, is it voluntary or compulsory? Ms. Murray will clarify that as well. And then the shredding, again, we've got to proceed from the understanding that this was a department that had to be placed under Section 100, i.e. it was not a functional department. To put it differently, it was a dysfunctional department. So a whole lot of things we see in here are symptoms of dysfunctionality. In fact, if the dysfunctionality was such that the shredding of books took us by surprise, say it now, took us by surprise. We didn't know it. And people were saying, why didn't you know it? We didn't know it because we just got into the problem at that point in time. Now, people who want to be gratuitous can say, yes, but you're responsible, you should know it, etc., etc. Now, with all the world in the world, you can't move in today. You know it. If that happens, you'll have to keep changing your administrators when you end up with the problem that you want to solve. We think we need to be calm and say, are we really serious about solving the problems of Limpopo for the children? If we are serious about it, then not focus on fixing up the system there that give rise to things as grotesque, as unforgivable as the shredding of books. And the shredding of books clearly is a symptom of no policies that are credible and perversions in the way contractors operate. In this particular instance, but it's a grave problem, this contractor claimed to have had a letter. Our information is that letter was dated and therefore not considered to be duly authorized for this person to go to schools to collect books. The procedure for declaring books obsolete is, as one honorable man said, supposed to conform to how you deal with state letters. You can't decide willy-nilly to do it. The provider was paid a weight. So throughout this process, there was a breakdown in systems. And this service provider then went ahead, earned and shred books. Unacceptable. The matter is being investigated. The official concerned will be disciplined. But that's just the disciplinary side, which is important. The important thing for the children of Limpopo is to ensure that the systems are fixed, they're durable, they're sustainable. We can't stay in Limpopo forever. We have to leave at some point in terms of the constitution. The important thing is when we leave, are the systems sufficiently durable? Honorable Member Ponshana raised issues about 2012 weaknesses, the early warning signs, etc., and then edge solutions. Let me just speak about the early warning system. Honorable members, you know we monitor provincial expenditure. We monitor, I'm talking of DBE, textbook procurement, as Ms. Mwele indicated. What stage are you at? Treasury also monitors expenditure. The problem of Limpopo was picked up very early last year by the Treasury and by the DBE. In fact, Limpopo itself reported it to the Treasury. A whole lot of people reported it to us. So these early warning systems indicated that, as Mr. Mwele said, the fundamental problem of budgets occurred as a problem. If you don't have the budget, everything else can't happen. You cannot legally start ordering. So the early warning systems allow us to know that they happen. The problem, though, is that the budget process and the budget thing, as much as we say it's a problem, as much as we say this thing must be fixed, is a provincial preserve. It's a preserve of the provincial treasury and, in this instance, the provincial education department concerning our TSF. It is because of the inability to deal with that problem, because the problem was so deep in terms of projected over expenditure, in terms of the department not being able to balance its books, in terms of accruals, that Section 100 was declared. To answer the questions, the early warning system kicked in, there were engagements to say fix it up. When those engagements didn't produce any fruit, there was Section 100, which is the most drastic intervention you can think of by way of mitigating a problem. So indeed, the problem was picked up. But because you're entering the situation quite late, up to that point in time, if the previous year the budget expenditure issues were sorted out, you still had a chance. But because of the nature of this problem, and because of the seriousness in Section 100 being introduced, this process started very late. And then Honorable Pachana is quite correct to raise the question about the service provider here being Edge Solutions, because when we dealt with the problem of the budget, and we're dealing with the problem of the budget, we had a contract in the department which was in place. And as a department, we found their contract there. Treasury, who led the intervention, said from the beginning, and these are public documents, which honorable members would no doubt have read based on reports to the National Assembly and in media. Treasury said, when we go in, all departments must do the following. You've got to stabilize the budget, you've got to stabilize expenditure, you've got to ensure budgeting and expenditure projections are credible. You've got to assess and verify each and every contract in that department. You've got to verify each and every invoice before you pay it out. That was the rules that we operated on. Indeed, we complied with that, and we assessed each and every contract. Treasury then said to us, based on their assessment, based on information that they have, they do not believe this contract for the LGSM should continue, that we must use an alternative. That was the issue there. In the newspapers, Oliver Chair, misreporting, and again, gratuitously, people picking it up to say the DBE went ahead with the service provider. It is not true, Oliver Chair. It's public knowledge that the contract was cancelled. The service provider took us to court. It's public knowledge. The institutions, organizations that are commenting on this thing know full well that it is not true. So I repeat, it is gratuitous to continue with that sort of lie. That the department, DBE, continued with that. Again, then to proceed, and these are very important questions which I thank the honorable member Ponshana for asking. Professor Browning, being a founding member of Edu Solutions, I'm not aware, honorable chairperson, of Professor Browning's business involvement. I can say, though, that Professor Browning joined the department as a CEO on a contract basis on NIDU. At no time did the DBE engage in a contract with EduSolutions. At no time. Before Professor Browning joined us, during his tenure, and after his tenure. So even though there's media speculation on the thing, let us be fair to all parties concerned. Let us be fair to Professor Browning. Let us be fair to EduSolutions. Let us be fair to the old ministry and department. Indeed, let me include myself in the situation, because there's been a presence as well about myself and this particular service provider. But DBE has not ever had a contract. Some people have said, but the provinces have. Now, anybody who's been in government knows provincial procurement, provincial budgeting, and so forth happens quite separately from the DBE. I can't influence procurement in the Western Cape. I can't, under any circumstances. I can't. Under Section 100, maybe, in the Mpopo, but the accounting officer does that. I'm not the accounting officer. So again, the DBE never has these contracts. So let's be fair even to the service provider under these circumstances, because these matters with the DBE are adjudicated. About the other person that was raised, Mr. Ndlovu, I'm not aware of his... I know he was in the department, I know he was in KZN, and I don't know anything beyond that, so I don't want to comment on that. Negotiate the reduction of prices, why is the department only waking up to this now, etc., etc. These are important questions. Let me say, on that person, one of the issues that came up in the questions is about procurement. You'll recall that in this committee, we've been challenged in the past for central procurement, for printing and publishing of books, etc., about whether the state wants to become a publishing house. So it's a very easy transition, this appears. But the key thing that's informed it goes back to what Mr. Mweli raised with the SACMEC study, that we have 45% coverage of LTSM. However, what he didn't say is you compare our expenditure on LTSM, it is considerably higher than those countries that have a considerably higher coverage. Let me repeat the point, it's very important. We spend much more on LTSM than other countries, yet those same countries have a wider coverage. The reason for that is very, very simple, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We pay too much per textbook. We pay far too much per textbook. To give an example of the next book that Honorable Member Lagno referred to, we were paying around about 375 rand for a book without delivery. We produce the book and deliver it to a learner's end for 33 rand. While I'm on the book, let me address the question raised about whether it's a supplementary text or core text. It's come up a number of occasions and so forth. Indeed, there was a parliamentary question that was responded to. And let me indicate exactly what the situation is. When we developed, procured the workbooks in their financial year, we realized and projected to realize a huge saving that even surprised the Treasury. what Treasury then said to us within the financial year is, very good, we'll allow you to keep the money, provided you spend it towards the end of the financial year and you spend it on work books. We then proceeded in engagement with Shuttleworth to assess these books and to align them to the cash. The assessment of these books were done by an independent panel of experts. The independent panel of experts found the textbook to be excellent, superior to most of what they've seen. In fact, they're worth anything that they've seen in the market as a standalone text for grade 10. However, at that point in time already, Honourable Chair, provinces had procured or engaged with publishers to procure books for grade 10. We'd already developed a catalog through which we solicited publishers to submit titles for screen. We therefore couldn't do anything, couldn't engage in any action that cancelled what they were doing, including their justifiable expectations. Because when you ask somebody to submit a title, when a province engages in a contract, those publishers then make certain assumptions about supply. They print the case. We can't come in late and say, right, here's another book, and then provinces don't order the book from the publishers. In an effort not to cause problems there, we told provinces, you have a choice. You can continue with what you've procured and use our book as a supplementary book, but we will supply the book to all of them. Indeed, it will not be a duplication because it can be used as a supplementary book. But let me say now categorically, based on what experts are saying, not me, it is a standalone text. It can be used on its own. Not only is it a standalone text, it's a superior text for grade 10 mathematics and science, as reviewed by independent panels. These are not people from the department purely who reviewed. These are subject experts and so forth that review the book. In terms of the orientation, Mr. Mwely will respond to that. Let me go to Honourable Lovemore then, some of the specific questions. Through you, Honourable Chair, the point was raised about my apology being qualified. I want to repeat again what I said. Now people always talk about their second language and first language. My own language is actually Afrikaans, and I grew up with Afrikaans, so maybe somewhere in the translation I lost out. But I'm going to repeat what I said. I said my apology is unconditional. Unconditional. To me, that's not qualified. I think sometimes in this context, unconditional is unqualified. I said, well, the reason why the officials did it was this. However, that does not justify what they did. I made a third point. I said we are dealing with this matter internal in the department that we ensure the problem does not occur. My memory serves me correctly, I repeat it, it's an unconditional apology. So to ensure that there's absolutely no doubt, I'm going to insert the synonym into that sentence and say it's an unqualified apology. So we don't have a problem with that one. Honourable Chairperson. In terms of the grade 10 and the confusion there, somebody is going to cover the issues about where we are in relation to the gap, differences, and so forth. But let me say the following. Why is it that we're operating the way we're operating? Why is it that the minister is saying she doesn't want to impose a execution program? Why is it that I'm confident that the minister's presence is not in any way making principals hesitant to speak? Certainly, she's engaging with principals. Engaging with teachers, we're engaging with unions. But secondly, Honourable Chair, we have indicated, and Samuel is reporting on this, we will use assessments of learners. There can be no better objective way of assessing whether or not there's a backlog and what the backlogs are. So we can get a lot of rhetorical statements about it, but the point is, there's only one way to definitely, scientifically assess the impact of what's happening. It's on the learners. And that's what the minister is doing. That's what districts are doing. That's what we structure them to do. That's what Mr. Mwely's branch is leading. So clearly, that's what will happen. And I repeat, the minister, the department, and the minister are very clear on this. She's not saying no extra tuition, but she's also not saying, I just quickly put together extra tuition and we'll reteach what we're supposed to have taught on grade 1. Let's be clear on what needs to happen. And that is clearly what's going to drive it. So Honourable Dikoro made a few points here about the delivery date, and, you know, are we sure about that? Let me make two broad points here in the interest of time, Honourable Chair. There are two issues here, as Honourable Members correctly raised. One is our planning correct? And two is the money. It's a big thing. When it got into the 2012 deliveries, that was a set of delivery mechanisms that we found there that were not robust or credible. A lot of what needed to be done was handed over to the service providers. So capacity internal to the department was very limited. And that's what we had to deal with. We had to deal with SMME, with capability we were uncertain about at the time, and some of whom took books from a warehouse and never appeared in school. We've done, and to speak through you, Honorable Chairperson, directly to the issues raised by Honorable Dikoba, which are absolutely critical. We've done a careful risk assessment of every step of the process, from the ordering to the capturing to the delivery to assessing whether publishers in fact can mobilize the stock in time, to the delivery of the stock, the picking or packing of that stock, the distribution of that stock, confirmation of delivery, verification of delivery. That has been done, and we're ensuring that there are robust mechanisms in place to deliver it. Almost the entire process has been overhauled here. Let me also say this. The big problem we face in Limpopo and in other provinces when it comes to the wood books is the credibility of the data. Because you can only deliver books according to the data. One of the big problems we faced in 2012 was the data was a huge problem. We rely on the province for that data. It's kind of off. Now, on the data, we either get wrong data because of wrong reporting or people not understanding what you mean by home language. But also what happens is the data always for textbook delivery is based on the previous year's data. In other words, for 2013, we're using 2012 data, which means, Honorable Chair, by definition, that in 2013, the books won't be exact because some learners may not go back to that school. One school will grow, one school will reduce. Others have in-migration, others have out-migration. That's the issue we have throughout the country. And that is why we have a process to mop up at the beginning of the year to make good on those issues. So those are the things that we'll deal with as far as the systems are concerned. Then, Honorable Chairperson, you even raised the issue about the budget. We were recently in an inter-ministerial committee meeting where the ministers who are responsible for intervention met, and clearly the point about the budgets for LTSM for Limpopo was raised and the matter being dealt with at the highest level. Yeah. The guarantee is that there will be money for procurement of LTSM, and we want to ensure that that happens in good time so that the procurement process isn't in any way delayed, so that I can communicate. The textbook issue that Honorable Dikoba was raising is a very important point. I don't know to what extent it's a national problem. Now that Honorable Dikoba was raising it, it is ringing a bell to me that because textbooks generally, you know, changes between grades, so you give a school a set of textbooks, they can use it whenever, on the assumption they have a retrieval system and on the assumption you top up. But I think those are assumptions which may not be well-founded, especially when a new set book is introduced. So I'm going to look into that matter as a matter of urgency with Mr. Mwen, just to make sure we come with a clear answer to that problem. And indeed, if it's a problem in the way Mr. Dikoba was raising it, which I suspect it is, we'll have to take remedial action to ensure that that happens. Otherwise, learners are very seriously disadvantaged. And this is an example where other members, you further disadvantage poor learners. Because rich parents can very easily go buy set work. In fact, rich parents buy books for their kids almost every week. But a poor learner who doesn't have a set work, it's not possible to sit for an exam if you don't have that set work, let alone the guy. So we'll definitely take that message very, very serious. The issue that Honorable Kova raised, again, I thank you for that. It gives me an opportunity to clarify. Again, I think the committee has expressed a view that there's broad agreement that teaching has taken place. The issue is about the extent of the teaching. However, let us say unequivocally that it can't be that total teaching happened. It can't be there is no problem. It can't be that LKSM was not delivered yet, you know, because of the CAPS training and so forth. It wasn't a big issue. Because one of the members are right, then why have LKSM in the school? So clearly there is an issue. And the minister said that there is an issue. The point is, let's assess exactly what the extent of the issue, which is what she's done now. She's finished it. Not let's assess in the future. She's done. And some people are saying, yes, there's a problem, deal with it. But remember, it's not just the problem about the textbooks arriving. The bigger challenge for us, the bigger challenge, not the challenge. The bigger challenge is there are certain areas where we experience difficulty. We want to focus on that. So one of our members let me this. Again, we unequivocally recognize that that is a problem. And when we say let's add other things, it's not to take away from that problem. It's to recognize that that problem is there. So very much it's part of the process. So I want to reassure honorable members that we're very much alive to that and we consider it to be very, very important. I've answered a question about what extra tuition. Honorable Mashishi, about the languages in Limpopo, and Honorable Mushwana raised this as well. This is a problem we've been having with African languages. Publishers are not producing books in this area. When we issue the catalog, we don't get submissions of titles for certain languages. And this raises very clearly the obligation on the state to do something about it. So that's what we're doing. Currently, we're going to produce through the state books here of high quality. Part of the problem of not having enough books here is where the state has been ripped off. Frankly, if it only gives us the prices that we were being charged for some of these books, it's just unbelievable because it's a monopoly, it's a sole supplier. And that is why it's important for the state to step in. But I want to assure Honorable Mashishi through you, Chair Honorable Mushwana, that the DBE considers the question of African language of utmost importance. Historically, but currently we're busy with a policy, a language policy, to deal with two things, which is the promotion of African languages along the lines that Honorable Mushwana is raising it, including the regional dialects. And also to ensure that every child who comes from a household where they do not speak an indigenous African language, to ensure that those children leave school with the competence in an indigenous African language. So that's our policy at the moment. We are looking at the implications of resources, teachers, and again, textbooks, of course. So we regard this matter as very, very important. Mr. Murray will answer the question of word books. And the task team, let me say to Honorable Mashishi through your chair, the task team has met. They contributed to the catch-up plan, the 10-point plan, and they will continue to hold together until we complete the implementation in this year. But the task team is not the core driver of this process. The core driver of the process is the Limpopo Education Department supported by DBE. The task team is supporting government in this process. We haven't handed it over to a task team. They're supporting government at this point in time. I see I'm soliciting a lot of yawns. I'm going to try and round up here now. Honorable Mushwana, about the challenge, I agree with you. We must interpret it correctly. The deadline for delivery, why is it starting today? Again, Honorable Chairperson, I remember being very fresh in government where we were confronted under President Madiba, our first democratic president in the country, was a huge challenge on FTSL. And he intervened personally and declared through presidential decree an amount of money for textbooks, which he told us about in October or something. And we had to scramble around to make his books, get his books delivered at the beginning of the year. I say that because this problem of LTSM has been with us for a long time. It has improved considerably in relation to expenditure and in relation to the time of delivery. However, our big problem has been the relationship between how much we're spending and the coverage. Bottom line is we're spending too much and we're not getting quality. The minister has spent much of her time in this term focusing on LTSF. Central procurement, the catalog, all of these issues are in response to this question here about delivery. And this is why we say now, by 2014, every child should have a book. In fact, Honorable Chairperson, society, because of the Limpopo question, is surprised that that is not the situation now. In fact, some of the reports that comes from schools is that there's an assumption that last year, year before, in all provinces, we have textbook per child. You will recall the MEC, the Western Cape, Honorable Grant, MEC Grant, said that never, he never said, and not, they don't live in the Western Cape, where every child has got a textbook. And it's not the case. And that similar thing applies across provinces. Because we're progressively trying to get to that. And unless we deal with key issues, about how much we're paying per tax, we're not going to get that. So central procurement, the issue about the catalogue, are all ways in dealing with that. Certain people don't like it. That is why we have huge problems for this matter, but clearly it's already delivering the goods if you look at the world books already. Honorable Moni, extra classes, do we normally use it? Correct. Mr. Moni will respond to that. Honorable Dina, comments I'm not going to engage with. I fully agree with that. Mr. Moni will respond to the guide and when it will be available. Foundation phase packs, Honorable Chairperson, indeed it's a national practice. We distribute throughout the country. The retrieval system is a big problem, and that's affected our ability to cover, and then languages as well. And then Honorable Mahisha made a lot of comments about the catch-up program and so forth. I think the views of the rest of the committee would be merged with that, so I'm not going to respond to the comments. Except to agree that we're sitting with challenges in the education system and that at a time like this, all of us need to focus our energies on the learners. That I fully agree with. And we've got to ensure that quality is improved and quality for the poor is improved. And that sentiment corresponds in its entirety to what has driven the minister and previous ministers in the administration. Chairperson, the buy-in, indeed, the ministers worked on that, we're working on that, in particular key stakeholders. We worked with the union very closely. We work with SDB associations very closely. In fact, Honorable Chairperson, we've got a department that institutionalized our engagement with civil society. Tomorrow morning, I've got a meeting with SDB associations where they come to committee meeting, we discuss policies with them. We meet unions in an institutionalized way. We meet civil society, we meet Section 27, the minister meets NGOs and so forth. We engage with them all along to get buy-in as well. Honorable Chairperson, make the point that this must be carried out by people on the ground, which is precisely why we make the points that I did about the catch-up program. Early warning system, I've covered that, and the dumping, I've covered that. It's through you, Honorable Chair, I can hand over to Mr. Mwele.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, DG. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Madisha asked as to how many learners do we have in the country. We have 12,428 learners in the country, 428,000 learners in the country. In Limpopo, we've got 1,715 learners. Those are the rough figures that we are giving you. If additional information is required in terms of breakdown per grade and so on, that we can provide later. Chairperson, let me also indicate that as part of what the DG has responded to, the reason for focusing and emphasis on grade 10, you would appreciate, as the DG said in his opening remarks, your high enrollment rate is in grade 10 in the system. Your high repetition rate is in grade 10 in the system. Your high dropout rate is in grade 10. Those are the key salient reasons why we want to focus on grade 10 for extra tuition. And as the DD correctly pointed out, nobody is averse to extra tuition. But we are saying it must be informed. And I want at the same time to address the issue of the teaching practice at the level of classroom. As indicated in our meeting last week, we said we have done an assessment on curriculum coverage, we've done an assessment on time on task, we have done an assessment on accountability in the system, teacher accountability in the classroom, your school management teams, your support teams, and so on. The major challenge around learning outcomes and learner performance is around curriculum coverage. It's around time on task. It's around accountability in the system. We've got data. I mean, the latest data that we have was the data that came through November 2011, which also showed that our coverage in terms of workbooks has tremendously improved to over 80%. Which is something I think your committee would be very happy to know about. The issue of what is the difference between winter schools and curriculum enrichment? Enrichment vacation classes. The enrichment vacation classes include even winter schools. They include even your spring schools. They include your weekend extra lessons and so on. So the embracing nomenclature that we use is that those are enrichment activities, and therefore they fall within your enrichment program. The subject guides, as correctly pointed out by Honorable Lovemore, the deadline is the end of this month in respect of what Limpopo needs to do. In respect of what DVE is providing, the guides, I think, have been developed, have been quality assured. They are ready for mass printing so that they are provided. We intend linking them to the enrichment program that we are going to unfold. And Honorable Lovemore asked as to which grades are we targeting. We are targeting grade 10 and grade 12. Those are the grades that will receive focus. In terms of the winning team, they could go to lower grades, but the main grades that we are focusing on is grade 10 and grade 12. And I assume, for obvious reasons that we all know, and some of those that I've just provided. And then in respect of the the variance between what has been procured and what has been delivered. That has been covered in the explanation of the DP. Given the fact that we are using last year's data, you accommodate variances that would be informed by a number of factors, in migration and so on, as explained by the DP. So that's why you've got the what has been delivered will be slightly less than what has been ordered, which means that you're also sitting with surplus material that we use when shortages are reported immediately, but also could even use for top-up, because these materials are valid for 3 years. Yeah. So we always order extra. As I said, it's between 2 and 5% that we order. Yeah, I thought that I have covered everything. So, you've covered almost everything. Those are the two, three areas that I thought were not covered in your response. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I think there's just something. The Shuttleworth books. You know, the maths and science is a question that was asked by Honorable Lovemore. Is there something else, Honorable Lovemore?
I'm sorry, Chairperson. I should have indicated that Songa and Sibenda, we received, the first consignment was received last week, Thursday, and then the last consignment was received yesterday. The administrator indicates that his target is that by the end of this month, all of those books should be with learners and in those schools. And I should have, maybe I didn't explain before and properly, at the time when orders were placed, this stock was not available. And it links up with what DG said, because you do have these challenges of the availability of stock from publishers. So government has to think about other alternative ways of making sure that learners are not shortchanged because of some of this development. But in respect of Sedgwick books, all that I can say is that I welcome this information that has been given to us. My understanding is that even though your Sedgwick books will have a longer lifespan as compared to your ordinary textbooks, top-ups have to be made year in and year out. And if that is the case, we'll have to investigate and check whether it's the prevalence of Limpopo or whether it obtains in the whole country. I know that we are due for the major change of a set work in the number of phases and grades, probably from next year. But for the past number of years, we've never had changes in the set work that are used in the system. But you need to have top-up actually every year to cater also. But at the same time, also accepting the notion that says we need to strengthen our retrieval policy, because at the moment it's also not working for us. And I think DG should have also indicated that he has tasked us with the responsibility of ensuring that come next year we implement a retrieval policy that would afford schools some benefits for schools that will increase their retrieval rate. so that money that could have been ordinarily used for textbooks could be channeled to other areas of need that would improve the implementation of the curriculum. Thank you.
Honorable Kobo, and then Honorable Asmo, and then Honorable Mani, and then Honorable Gina. I'm giving you a bit of follow up.
Now, this variance that we have, is it because we have not received them from the publisher, or we have received them, they are still with us? I have ordered, you say, this is what I have ordered, and this is what I have demanded. It's not even talking about the shortage that can be with fluctuation of numbers. All what you're saying is that you have ordered this number, you're saying I've delivered, but the number is less. Where is the problem? You have not received, or you have received, you're still in the process of being delivered. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to clarify, please, with respect to the study guide and the additional tuition. And I'm quoting again. The department, this is the Director General, the department is committed to extra tuition, but not on a one-size-fits-all basis, rather specifically defined by the teachers in the school. That's by what the teachers in the schools are saying is the need. And then in addition to that, the DG said, so that's the teachers and the principal saying what is needed. In addition to that, the DG said, we will use assessments of learners to determine scientifically the impact on learners and structure the catch-up plan accordingly. Now we have two things. We have asking the teachers and the principals what the impact has been, and we also have separately assessments of learners. Now what assessments are those? Are we going to make are we using the June assessments? Are we having separate assessments? What assessments are those? So as I say, we have two separate assessments that will take place. Okay, so now we end up with a not a one-size-fits-all, different needs in different areas. So what are we going to have? Are we going to have a catch-up plan that says we have this plan required for school A, that one for school B, that one for school C, with so much tuition for school A, so much, et cetera, et cetera? Or are we going to have categories of schools, or what are we going to actually have? There still isn't, in fact, and I hear Honourable Gina, I'm afraid I can't agree with her saying this has cleared the fears. It certainly hasn't cleared mine. Can you also just clarify with respect to Penreach and winning teams? I didn't guess exactly who will be doing what. And lastly, a comment. I'm actually horrified to hear that the language books are still being delivered. You might well remember that when we went to Monkey Valley, we asked for an update on the delivery of textbooks in Limpopo. We were told, and I think it was by Mr. Mwele, I've got it written down, that the average percentage across all the districts, bar Bembe, was 98% delivery. In Bembe, 100% of books had, I'm sure my colleagues can recall, 100% of books had been delivered. Never was it indicated that there was any problem with the language textbooks whatsoever. So I'm very, very disappointed in that, but be that as it may, I would like clarity on the rest of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chaperson. It is unfortunate that we deal with both the court order and systemic ills of our education. And then, briefly and quickly, I want to indicate that I am pleased by the plan that the department has put in place. I have no reason to believe that it will not take us to where we want it to take us. And then I want to suggest that as a committee, let us support the plan, release the department, go and implement, can report promptly so that when problems are noticed, we come to our politics as a committee. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for that. Honorable Gina?
I wanted to talk on this catch-up testing in Limpopo, the way it has been structured and the role players that are there, and even progress that they're coming up with. I think they maybe I'll go back towards the end to my way of years being, yeah. But with this one, again, Chaperin, I think we need to comment on it. If ever we have these role players being in this provincial task team for provincial enrichment programs, I think it's all-rounded, really, with the people who are there in the province experiencing these difficulties and the reports that you are getting from them. To me, it shows that there is great progress with the buy-in of all the stakeholders within Limpopo province. And it's a fact, we never get to one thing when you go to the people. People are always like that, are always subjective in whatever way. But for me, really, what you are seeing today, I would say it again, we are seeing a huge progress in trying to intervene and make sure that we bring back education to its normal position in Limpopo. So even on for myself, Chaperin, what I wanted to say, yes, there still is work in progress, but what has started, we see, we feel that it's going to take us somewhere. So even on myself, as a committee, as a member of the committee, I can see no need where we say we don't support such good progress, such good initiatives to make sure that whatever has been wrong in Limpopo is being corrected. So that is why I just wanted today. Really, I believe as a committee was behind the whole thing, was behind the intervention, and where we see there are still gaps, if ever, as we go on, we will find that gaps. That is where we'll call the department, and I think we are in a very good relationship with the department, and we will together can make sure how the gaps are being closed. But as for what is started, really, can you see the department keeping it up and awaiting the report from the minister so that we can even take it further to benefit those lads in the
township? Because I just want Mr. Mwere just to speak of the few points I thought brought up. And then you can go to my briefing on things that I want us, the department, to touch, because I touched it. Honorable Khanyaho.
Thank you, Chaperin. When one travels from Polokwane to another place called Lebowahom, I'm taking you now to Limpopo, there is a pass, and they call it Tshweni Spoort. Now, Tshweni is the surname of the chief in that area. But now, those who were responsible for names went there and wrote Tshweni Spoort. And people, all of them started to say Tunis word, except myself. I never said Tunis word because I was worried about it. Now, I'm sorry to say, and I know I'm irrelevant, I know, in terms of it, but I want to correct something. I'm from Limpopo. Now, I don't go into Limpopo, it's a bailiwick. Rather put an H next to P than if it be Po, Limpopo. But if it is not bailiwick, it's okay. Then we can say, I'm just getting it right. But I'm not referring to anybody. Limpopo province, not Limpopo, please. Thank you.
Mr. Mwele, just...
Okay.
Honorable Chairperson, can I start? And Mr. Mwele will deal with the question. Thank you very much. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Dikobo's question Mr. Mwani will deal with. I want to thank Ola Lazmo for that question because I think I was clear on that one about the teachers giving input and then the assessment. And so let me clarify. Teaching and assessment goes together. You don't have one without the other. So teachers initially will give a view, but teachers as part of their pedagogic skill, as much as a doctor can have a visual view, a view based on a visual assessment, they have to examine the patient. That's what I mean. The teacher will do an assessment to then assess exactly what the learners need. That's what I mean when I say teachers will make an input. That's an important thing. Furthermore, the DDE will also use its annual national assessment, which fortuitously, coincidentally happens in September. So we'll do those two things. So thank you very much. It's just to make the point that assessment is a teaching technique, it's not just a testing technique. And employing it as a teaching technique, you inform this thing. So thank you very much for that. In terms of the, so therefore, to say now, what do we mean when we say we're not going to have one size fits all? Let me respond to that. If we came here and said our catch-up plan is every Saturday, learners are going somewhere, during the week we have one period and so forth, and we stop, that's not a catch-up plan. That's the shell of a catch-up plan. So the shell of the catch-up plan could be the same for everyone. So you don't have to necessarily have categories of school and so forth. What you can have is to say in each school, you have a minimum of so many periods per day to focus on the catch-up program. But then you must define what the catch-up program is. What we've been talking about is defining what is done in that extra time. I repeat, the catch-up program can be, we're allocating extra time, we're asking teachers to do it, and they have to do it at this time for this grade, for the subject. That's important, but it's only part of the plan. The more important part of the plan is when they get there to that lesson, what do they do? I've been speaking about the latter part. And that's what I mean, you can't have one size fits all. And anybody who's been in a classroom knows that. If you've taught and you're confronted with a class, either you haven't taught, I've been confronted with that, at school and university level, or you're confronted with a class that has got deficits throughout the year. You then come, you know you're teaching them on Saturday morning and Thursday afternoon. You know they're all coming. You know you're giving them tea in the afternoon. But what you must decide what you're going to do when they're there at that point in time. That completes the catch-up plan. So that's what we mean when we talk about this thing. Penbridge and winning teams will focus on grade 12, just to clarify that. Sorry, we didn't answer that question. And in terms of the language books, Mr. Mwele will answer that. We accept fully, Honourable Chair, the point raised by Honourable Mone, that this committee will indeed monitor our progress. We thank him for the proposal. I know it's not the decision of the committee, but we indeed would subject ourselves to being monitored. And then, Honourable Dina, indeed, this task team will be all-inclusive. We need to ensure that both, more importantly, the provincial role players, but also national role players, for example, with the teacher union, we're involving both their national and provincial counterparts as stakeholders here. Through you, Honourable Dina, I could hand over to Mr. Mwele in agreement with Honourable Kanyako, who's been awful.
Mr.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and DG. I agree with the observation made by Honourable Dikobo. I think we should have been explicit. We've been accused on several occasions, rather, of having misled, but it wouldn't have been deliberate. Our number of the material that's ordered vis-a-vis what is being delivered, we need to explain exactly what the variance is and what that variance is for. The confirmation that I received from the administrator is that the variance are the surpluses, not what is en route to schools. And these variances have been responded in different forms. For instance, in meeting to the minister, to the best of my recollection, I think about five schools out of three meetings where principals indicated that they had not received anything. When we investigated, we discovered that these schools were not even part of the data that were provided. It's some of the data errors that we pick up along the way. So these are surplus materials that are intended to service shortages as well as non-deliveries to some of the schools. So in future, we'll improve on our reporting. The issue of 98% versus 100% for them is a case in point, particularly the reports that we gave to Section 27 and others. Honourable Lamo will recall, and honourable members who were in Limpopo, we said the figures that we provided were about books ordered, delivered to the central warehouse, moved from the central warehouse to district warehouses. What we could not confirm...
Not in Limpopo, we're talking about what was said in Monkey Valley.
Okay. Well, even in terms of what was said at Monkey Valley, I'm not sure whether at that time we had received confirmation from schools. Yeah, my sense is that we are still getting schools to confirm as to whether they have received books. I think if we talk about Monkey Valley, the reliance would have still been on figures that were confirmed by the IT system, which could not give us the exact figures which were received by schools. And I will concede that in the report that we provided, we were not explicit about what could have not been ordered because it was not available on stock or it was not provided in the national catalog but came to be provided later in the agenda. That I will accept. Thanks.
I think that was the workshop before. Let's go through what was said at the workshop, because I think there were 12-point presentations, but I can't remember all of them. I think what's been spoken earlier around us is the policies that we need to get. According to the DG, we need systems in place within the social itself. And what would be important is the receiver policies. For the couple and the whole of the country, was it a department that policy implementation? Then the risk management plan, there should be a policy in place. For that would be for the problem, the whole of the country. Then the risk of policy is the way we listen to it, of state access to the team. So I think that has to be taken up according to what state regulations say and what the supply chain management is saying. For our country. Then when it comes to 2013 LCSM, we'd like to see it in the Jackson Association. It will be for the province or for national, but I think it's going to be for national. Because it might appear there.
No. Sorry, I'm going to check. It will be appropriated on the provincial budget.
On the provincial budget. But we'd like you.
I'm speaking out of my mic. We'd like you to bring us something as proof that is on the provincial budget. Then with a way forward, the report, when you give your report to the court, because it's monthly, then I think the report has to come to us too. And I think the report will have to give us that date. This is the date when we give our report to the court, because we have to monitor it and also evaluated. And then the textbooks is an important issue. And then when it comes to the language policy, I'm happy that you are reviewing it, because I think I'm sticking under correction. We do have a language policy of 1997. Am I correct? That is being reviewed. And then what is very important is what the president was speaking about. He spoke about it in two sauna addresses, the triple T. And if I start speaking to the triple T teacher, textbooks and time. And then I would like to thank the Honorable Madisha. He sent the apology forward to Chair. So I'll just apologize for what took place to the department, because I think language is important. And I'll let us come, people speak about supporting this plan. Because this is the plan that's supposed to go to the court. As the chairperson of the committee, with all corrections and with all questions asked, we'll accept the report. We want to hear about another one now. We'll accept this report that you're giving to us today. And we'd like to know, you speak on television or on radio, this is the plan with all the corrections that you gave to the court. And then next week, the court would like to round off the whole issues of Limpopo, because we have to give the department space to do their work. Because we're not giving you space, we're asking questions, and we're asking questions. And implementation has to take place. So we're going to give you space through the work, and we're going to see, we're going to put in the other two reports we have to do today, but committee read them. But next week, with what is the department giving to us, we are going to do all our reports as outstanding, because there's two Islam Poker reports, three reports, and there is an Eastern Cape report for Elizabeth, for Elizabeth's report. and the infrastructure, because look at appropriations are sending that report to us to go through, that we should approve it, because we were in the Eastern Cape. And we're going to do all the myths, because we as committee get penalized if our minutes are not in on time when it comes to the Honorable Frolic. I'd like to thank the department, yes?
Can the Secretary please note the objection of the Democratic Alliance to the acceptance of the CATA plan? We do not believe that it addresses the needs, and the objection should be noted. Thank you.
Fine. We'll put that in our minutes. But I'd like to thank the other parties for the acceptance, because to us, it's the constitutional imperative that a learner must come first. Thank you. Meeting closed. Yes?
I may be out of order. But can I request there is a task team's report to the president? Is the department privy to that report? Can we get it? Because the task team, the findings of that team, we are not privy to that report.
I think we as a committee will have to get all the other reports and see how we've put it down to you. And I'd like to thank the department for today, because by next week we'd like to round off our own report so that we can put the Limpopo story to rest, that you can implement what you are supposed to implement within Limpopo and country. I thank you.
Chairperson, it says other, but was there not information about our...